So welcome. This is our popcorn, our story mastery popcorn and movie night. And I just had some pizza. So my snacks are, I've got some tea. I've got some bubbly stuff. I hope you've got, did you bring something? Are you in something comfortable? Did you bring some snacks for yourself? Did you, yay, something to drink, something to keep you comfortable? So today what we're gonna do, let me just grab my notes here. So, oh goodness, man, I'm excited. What we're going to do is we're going to be diving in to some movie clips, ads, TV. We're going to be taking a look at just some little snippets of story and seeing what we can do to understand or pick out some of the story elements that we've been playing with in Story Mastery to see these story elements actually on the court. And just a reminder about what Story Mastery is about. When we learn how to tweak those story elements in our companies, we are getting in the driver's seat of our marketing, our sales, our branding for our company, our own vision for what's possible, how we talk to our team, how we do email campaigns, what our opt-in pages and our websites look like. There is no place outside story. And so as we dive in here, we can learn how to do those kind of informal stories on the court. We can learn more about crafted stories. And I want to tell you, I'm both excited and I don't know what to say. I just, I have never shared these movie clips before. These clips, I found them, they're not completely at random. I went out and thought, well, let's look at some that are really popular. I just want to go find some different clips that are really popular. And then can we find out what's driving audiences to them? What are the story elements that we can see that make these clips something that people want to see? Make sense? Okay, so again, stories are everywhere. They drive our businesses, they drive our lives. And let's find some story agility, some story nimbleness, some story mastery here tonight. And I also want to make sure that there's just time for questions. So whatever questions you have about applications in your company, questions about how a particular element of story works, questions about how it applies in any area of your life or your company, or how it's working in that particular clip. I just want to open up to lots of time for questions. And anything else that I want to tell you? So it's a chance to integrate what we've learned. It's a chance to look at the world in a different way. Hopefully by the end of tonight, you're just not going to see movies. You're not going to see ads. You're not going to see billboards. You're not going to see them in the same way after we look at these little clips. All right. So I'd just love to hear from a couple of you. If you're listening to the recording afterwards, welcome. For those who are here live, Yvonne, Dawn, Wendy, I'm so glad you made it live. It's a Saturday night. Thank you for being here. I'd just love to hear from you before we just dive into these clips and start seeing what we see. What are you excited about for tonight? What is it that you most want to gain or learn or experience or have fun with? Like, what are you excited about? Let's hear from at least one or two of you. Yeah, Dawn, thank you.
I'm happy to be here with all of you. That's why I just wanted to be with you.
I'm so glad. And, you know, it's one of the things in my notes, but I didn't mention, it's just, it's about a way of connecting too, you know, to actually get to kind of, this is welcome to my home, you know. I know you see this chair often, but it feels more than ever like I'm just inviting you into my home. Imagine we're in my home, we're watching a movie together. If we wanted to, you know, if we were going to spend 5 hours together, then we'd watch a whole movie. You know? But I wanted to make sure that we're both having fun watching some clips and then diving in so that we get this fun time to spend together, and that also we have some tools by the time we leave that you can really use on the court. So Dawn, thank you for that. It's like, it's nice to be together. Thank you. Yvonne, what makes you, like, what are you excited about for tonight?
In all honesty, I'm tired. I almost forgot. I had just come home and I was sitting downstairs in a chair and I was looking up something on my phone and a reminder on my calendar popped up and I was like, oh, right. So I'm here, but I'm dragging my ass and I'm waiting for my dinner to be brought up and yeah.
Well, clearly I've got the opposite energy to you and I got a little bit of something.
All I got for you.
It's actually been an insane week, I got to tell you. I mean, it's been an insane week. So I'm so excited to be here with you. There are, man, I don't want to go too far on the dark side, but my daughter's fine. She had to have a COVID test this week. She's fine. There are two family members who've been in and out of the hospital this week. One death. It's been an insane week, I got to tell you. And I am delighted to be here, thinking so much about hospitals and trying to help family members for many hours and staying up late. It's been a crazy week. So I have the opposite energy to you. And I'm just like bouncing off the walls, excited about what we're doing together tonight. All right. So I think what I want to do is just remind you of some of the elements very quickly, and then we'll dive into the clips. Wendy, I don't know if you're in a place where you can speak or not. Anything you want to add, if you can speak, speak now or forever hold your peace. You can speak. You can ask questions later and comments later, but anything you want to add about what you're excited about for being here in case you're able to speak. Okay, well, Yvonne, Don, Wendy, I'm so glad you're here. Wendy, I hope you're able to interact a little bit later. And Yvonne, Don, man, I'm so happy you're here. It's like, this is like going to be I'm excited for this. This is like a private tour of a story. And we've only done this popcorn and movie night once before. We've never had this kind of intimate private tour before. And I love that kind of close-in work. So for those who are listening later, fantastic. You're going to get lots of story tips. And for us here, man, thank you for being here. I'm so happy to be playing with you here tonight. So just a quick reminder, the basis of story, one central character. If we're business owners, we're not going to talk about this part too much during this evening, although you can ask questions about it. Not you. We're not the central characters if we're a business owner, right? One central character, not you, has a desire. Story's about the thread of desire. We talked about that in the last class, right? And it's internal. We see it externally, but really there's something internal going on. Something gets in the way. They're both internal and external obstacles. The internal ones drive the story. They often come in the form of mistaken beliefs, beliefs that are ground in, that have consequences, that bring about increasing difficulty. Until a crisis is reached, there's a key turning point where the character changes. The story is about their change, right? So that's kind of some overarching things. We're going to see some parts of stories. We're not always going to see all those elements, but we'll see some of them highlighted. And I might actually bring in other elements of story that I don't have time to talk about in story mastery, but we might see some other things because they're there right there on the court. Let me see. But one of them is that one that I haven't talked about at all yet in story mastery is that long movies, for instance, they're often made up of these little moments or segments. And even in those segments, we have little mini stories inside stories, right? Sort of beyond the scope of what we're talking about, but I want to mention that because we're going to see that. I'm going to show you some clips and we've got like little mini stories that are going on right inside larger stories, whether movies or films and so on. We'll see that sometimes. So just wanted to mention that at every part of the story, you've got, you want to have the you can use story elements on a macro level, like an entire movie, an entire talk, and you can use them on micro levels. And I remember what Mary Kay said the other day. It's like, goodness, even a sentence is a story. All right. So reminder of some of the elements. We talked about character, the one at the center. There has to be only one and they want something. Plot, you put things in order. You arrange things in order to a purpose, right? And you decide on which events you're going to have. And those events that you talk about, the things that happen, support character growth. They support what's happening with the character. They support theme, the thing that we're trying to say. Theme, the story has to have a point. Otherwise, people get lost. Desire an audience. Know what the main character wants at the deepest level and why they want it. Sometimes we're going to see more surfacey level desires. These are just little clips. Sometimes we'll even have those hints of those deeper level desires. Hi, Marnie. We'll have deeper hints of those deeper level desires even in these little clips, right? So we talked about desire, audience. We construct our stories for what the audience, for that particular audience, right? What do they want? And they see themselves in that central character, right? The audience sees themselves in that person who the story is about. Image, symbol, we've talked about this. Again, we've talked about this over many weeks now. So these different elements, image and symbol, things you can touch and feel and smell and taste and see, all the senses, did I miss one, and hear. This is what brings the reader or listener, draws them into the story. And then an image. It's not just any image. It's not just the sun. It's that sun, that day with that meaning in that moment, right? And not just any forest, it's that forest, right? Princess Bride, what the forest they walk into. You know, oh, I could have had a Princess Bride clip. We don't have one today. And that forest they walk into, it's a very particular forest. It's scary. Bad things could happen there, but it shows that Wesley, the hero's bravery as he walked into that forest. So imagery is specific. We talked about the smell of coffee. People hear it very differently. And then symbol, that image, that those sensory descriptions. They stand for something larger. That's all a logo is, by the way. It's a thing that we see that stands for something larger, an idea. So all of this is right in every element of our company as well. When we understand story elements, we'll go, oh, I get branding now. Well, I get marketing now, et cetera, right? And I've told you before that really, really well-known marketer, you know, if I told you his name, when we went for dinner, he said, you know, Michelle, all us marketers, we just want to be filmmakers, right? So learning what those elements are. And then point of view, know whose eyes you're seeing through, right? Whose eyes are you seeing the story through? And depending on whose eyes you see it through, the story will change. Again, we might not touch on all those, but I just want to give you a remember what these elements are. And then we may touch on some that we haven't even heard about before, just depending on how the clips go. All right. And Marnie, since you've arrived, one of the things I was asking everybody is like, what are you excited about for tonight? This is we've only done two popcorn and movie nights before. I think you were one of the ones who hung out till the end, I believe, in the last one, right? We were there for 3.5 hours together, I think, that night. I don't think we're going to do that tonight, but I'm here. It's Saturday night. If you guys have questions, I'm here. I'm here to have fun with you. Yay, Dawn, you're eating popcorn. So, Marnie. You've been here before. This is all new. This is in the midst of story mastery, which is a whole different level here. What are you excited about for tonight?
Well, I just finished a 6-hour call, so I won't be staying for 3.5 hours this time.
I don't think you will be tonight.
But I'm excited for the fact that, you know, I'm a writer, an author as well as with the business. And so I'm learning lots from that, but it's the whole bringing it to the things that we see and do on a regular basis and understanding that when you deconstruct that, you already know it, which you often say, yes. But now that you become a master of the tool as well. So I'm excited to just see it in slightly different perspectives and in a perspective that I actually am a bit more familiar with. So.
Yay. Perfect. I love, love, love that. Like, how does this work on the court every day in everything that we see? So that's why I wanted to take clips from, you know, ads and movies and TV shows, different places. And when you go out in the world, you'll see it in the grocery store. You'll see it when two people are chatting with each other. You're going to see these elements and how they work in our everyday lives when we see them here. So I think I gathered 1, 2, 3, 4. I gathered 6 clips. I don't know if we're going to end up looking at all of them. I think it'd be fun to. And we'll watch the energy too. We're here for a couple of hours. If our energy starts to flag, we can take a couple minute break, or I might just have you writing down some stuff, or take a stretch break. We're just gonna follow the energy tonight and have some fun together. Make sense? All right. Anything wanting to be said before we dive into clip number one? All right. And I do have one more thing I want to say. So that's that I looked at all these clips. Some of them I've seen them a couple times. Some of them I've only seen them once. Right? I have seen them. And I have some ideas about what I'm going to say about what I have to observe in these different clips. But also, this is really right on the court. What do you guys see? What Marnie said, I love that, you know, trusting your own story knowledge and your own story wisdom, believing in yourself, knowing that you've been telling stories always. They're all around us. We're using them all the time and just building on that innate knowledge, and then just having fun. If we're not having fun, we're not doing it right. So it's not, let it be playful, let it be fun, see what you see in it. And then we'll see where it goes. And I think I want to keep this super informal. So rather than having a bunch of clips and then Q&A, let's just let the questions arise as they come. And sound good? Perfect. Okay. So clip number one. And don't think, just enjoy. and then we'll see what we've seen. All right, we'll see what we've seen about story in these little clips. All right, let me see if I can Share my screen, share sound. I think I always forget how to make sure I can see you at the same time as the clip. So I won't be able to see you. I hope you're enjoying it. And somebody text me if all of a sudden things cut out. All right, you guys, you've got my phone number. So I've got my phone beside me here. I'll see it. I haven't got the sound on, but I'll see it flash. I'll find out that we dropped. And each of the clips are only, you know, 2 minutes, they're three, they're 4 minutes long. Maybe the longest one might be 5 minutes, something like that. They're not long clips. Okay, here we go. So let me find, oh, sorry. I just have to find that clip that I want first. See if I can get it in front of me.
Make sure you share audio.
Thank you for that reminder. Yes, I will do. Share, share sound, optimize. Okay, enjoy.
Come on, you guys, we're sorry. Our subway broke down.
That's a lie. You went to the game. I can see Joey's hand.
For the love of God, take it off!
I had a dream once about a fax machine that did that.
That's all the turkey you're gonna get.
How are we gonna decide who gets this?
Water balloon!
What are we gonna do? I'm starving.
Oh, I just remembered! We do have something to eat. Monica put something in our oven this morning.
Oh, yeah! Oh.
Hey, you touch that and you will be sorry!
Guys, I listened to her. The vein is bigger than I've ever seen it.
Huh? Oh my God, it's Brussels sprouts!
That's worse than no food.
Ha ha, all you got was Monica's stinky Brussels sprouts.
Stinky?
Please let me stay on this side of the door.
Oh, I know, I still have my old key. Ooh. We can just unlock the door.
Well, I don't know if that's such a good idea. They clearly don't want to be with us.
You know what? I don't want to be with them either, but it's Thanksgiving and we should not want to be together together.
Just get in there and make a face-to-face apology, you know? Look them in the eye. I know I could get them to forgive us.
I don't know.
I'm telling you. I can do it.
Yeah, you can do it. Oh. It all looks so beautiful. Turkey, the stuffing.
The cranberries.
Enough. A monkey could have made them.
Hey, listen, guys, we feel really terrible.
He's doing that weird eye contact thing. Don't look at him. Don't look at him.
Come on, you guys. We want you to know we're very, very sorry. Right, guys?
I feel terrible.
Sorry. Is HelloFresh worth the price?
Absolutely. In the beginning, I was doubtful too. Until I realized I was actually saving money by cooking with HelloFresh. For example,
is it not pausing? There we
this
go.
Week, I ordered a fillet steak and fries.
Okay. And you're still there, yay. All right. So, little clip from Friends, and lots of people, I can't even remember how many, it's over a million have seen this, something like that. It's just, you know, really popular little clip. So what do you notice about story? What elements can you pick out? What grabs your attention here?
Character. We know these characters so well, so we know, you know, a lot of their motivation and what they're going to do. You know, you just kind of know. Joey's going to eat the food and Monica's going to be mad and Chandler's going to be making stupid comments. And
character drives story, right? We're so interested in the characters. And here's one thing I'm going to say too. I said there's one central character and you might go, but Michelle, this is going to break the rules. Sometimes you're going to go out there and go like, but wait, there's a whole bunch of them. How am I supposed to decide? We're just seeing one little clip, right? So we're going to see some story elements and it's kind of like, how do I say this? We learn the elements. It's like learning how to do a scale in music, and then you start playing with what the rules are, right? So we might not see it perfectly mapping on one and one, but it's and there are some stories where there's an ensemble cast and some, but what I'm trying to teach you is the kind of story that's most going to land for your audiences. All right. And I want to say in Friends, I think I told you this, there is one central character. The those who wrote the story, and when you look at it over many episodes, it's Ross. Ross is at the center. We may not see that in this little clip. He's at the center. So characters, we understand the characters so well, we know what they're going to do. I love that. Thank you, Marnie. What else do you notice in this little clip? No wrong answers here. It's like, what do you notice? You know about story. I'll have a few things I want to I want to underline for you, but I want to see what you're seeing with the pieces that we've learned. Yeah, Dawn.
I'm seeing what the theme is, that they want their turkey dinner or their Thanksgiving dinner and what obstacles are in the way.
Yes, and I'm going to shift your language a little bit. So it's desire. What you're saying is what they want, right? So the theme might be something else, an idea that this story gets across, this little mini story, right? But the desire, we always want, there's always got to be a main character. Here you could almost say there's an ensemble character. Don't try to do that in your own stories, right? So you could always almost imagine them being as though they're one in this little clip, all right? And that those people working as an ensemble, as one whole, they want something. Without desire in a story, nobody's going to be interested, and the desire must be very clear. And what do they want? That you said this very clearly, Dawn. I love that. What did you say they wanted?
Their turkey dinner, their Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes, let me in. I want turkey, right? And so desire, the thread of desire has to be very clear. Somebody wants something. And then you said something else that was important, an important element of story. Dawn, what else did you say?
And there are obstacles.
Yes. And I didn't mention this detail, but I talked about it in one of our classes when we were talking about those obstacles. Are the obstacles, is it just, well, there's one thing in the way and then we get it? Is that when we're interested? No, right? So how do the obstacles work? Do you remember?
They're internal and external.
They're internal and external. And yes, so you're saying it, and then I'm seeing right beside you on my screen, Marnie's going like this, and they get worse.
Right. Oh, and they're increasing, yes.
Yes. And so, you know, we don't see as much nuance, I would say, of the internal and external obstacle. We were just getting a little clip here. But if we think about it, let's talk about that part first, and then we'll talk about the escalation of the obstacles after. Marnie's doing this and this and this, right? So the internal obstacle, what do you think? Can we still see it there if we think about it?
Yeah.
I didn't think about it beforehand, but if I think about it now, what do you think of as the internal obstacle? If we think of them as an ensemble, one character for now, right? Slightly different shape of the story that I've been teaching you, but an ensemble character deeply wanting something. And what's the... So what's their inner desire? Mm-hmm. I can see it, actually, if we think about it.
It's to win back Monica's approval.
Exactly. I was saying you can't even see that clearly in here, but I'm wrong in that, right? We want to be friends again. We feel left out. We've done something bad. We don't even have to know what the bad thing is that they've done in this little clip. It stands by itself. We want forgiveness. We want to be included in the fold again. We feel left out, and if you don't... let us in, we're going to feel bad about ourselves. We're going to feel like we really have sinned. We've done something wrong, and we'll feel like we'll never be in the fold again. Please let us in. And really nice notice, you guys, internal and external, you know, obstacles and internal and external, internal and external desires, what we're talking about right now, right? I want in the door, but there's more than that going on, even in this little clip. Okay, fantastic. And then Mary, you talked about that the obstacles escalate. Can you give me some examples of how that happened in this clip?
First of all, they're on the other side of the door and it's just kind of like, well, you can't come in. And then it's like, the teaser of the turkey under the door and the chain. But they're showing the food and now it's in front of them and they can see what they've forgotten. But they can also directly see the anger and the hurt of Monica and Chandler. And, you know, so everything is getting bigger and bigger.
Yes, and it gets bigger because, like, if you think of it, as human beings, we try to solve it the easiest possible way, you know? It's like, oh, wow, they slipped us some turkey. Shoot, now it's already gone. What is it? Joey ate it already, you know? It's like, easy come, easy go. Well, okay, our desire is to at least have some, you know, we want the turkey, but maybe we can, because desire sometimes shifts and changes in response to it, because the obstacles get bigger and we realize there's even more at stake than we thought before. So then they go, well, listen, we can at least get some food. We'll be able to solve this. We'll solve it the easiest possible way. I'll go over to my apartment and because there's food over there. Does that solve it? Or does it get, you know, does it, their little action is going to solve it, right? Or does it really? What are they, what's the response? You remember? I think if you hear Yvonne.
I have to say this because it's Brussels sprouts and they hate them. It yes. even works.
Yvonne's got a previous story about the Brussels sprouts. So I had to come from Yvonne, right?
I make peace with my Brussels sprouts.
Oh, so wow, this is going to solve it. Oh no, it's Brussels sprouts. And so both the desire is there, the obstacle is there. There's one main character, they're kind of an ensemble character here. And then in fact, like, you know, it escalates until there's even a crisis. And then there's even more at stake than it seems. Like it gets... It's almost like you lose ground as you try to go forward and you didn't realize that the problem is deeper than you thought. And that strikes me at least one moment in here. Have you seen that too? Where do they notice that the problem is even deeper than they thought and it actually gets worse before it gets better? Yeah, Yvonne.
They thought they had to figure it out because Jennifer had a key.
Right.
And so now she was like, oh, I can outsmart you guys. I'll go get my key and we'll make our way in. And then she opens the door and it's on the lock.
Yes. So there's like obstacle after obstacle. It gets worse and worse. Even the key isn't going to solve it. Right. And that's part of why so many people have seen this. It has all the story elements in one little clip. Right. And then the piece that I was thinking about is when Chandler, what does he say again?
The vein's the biggest I've ever seen it.
Right. And then if the theme, we haven't talked about the theme yet, but if the theme is something like, what do you think the theme is? Like, what is this little clip? If you had to say, this is trying to tell us something about human life, something that's important. Yeah, Wendy, what would you say?
I don't know about the theme, but I find it interesting that the more they try to fix the problem with external, like quick fixes, the bigger the internal problem becomes, right? Yes. Like,
right.
People are not my friends. Like, you're just, all you care about is getting in the door. You don't even care that I made you dinner and you didn't care enough to show up on time. And like, I just want you all to be my friends. And so the more they try to overcome these little obstacles that are external, they make the internal problem worse. Like the Brussels sprouts comment makes it worse. And it just keeps getting worse internally as they try to fix it externally instead of fixing the internal root.
Yes. And so all of the external conflict and all of the external desire, as they try to fix it, it shows us more and more of what's going on internally and actually aggravates it. We take action that's simple, that seems like it's going to solve it. But until we get to that inner world problem, we're not going to be able to, like the resolution isn't going to come. And then where it comes to even deeper crisis, when Chandler says, yeah, her vein is even worse. And then do you remember there's a pause and he says, please let me stay. So now it's like the crisis is escalated because they can't get in the door. They're not going to be forgiven. They're not going to be together. The togetherness is not going to happen. And now Chandler is at risk. Even he might be thrown out. This is why the clip grabs us, right? And then finally, you know, the character has to change. Do you remember that part? The story is about the internal change. And we kind of see that in a light, funny way here. But how do we see that here?
It's Joey's eyes.
Yes, right.
Like, oh yeah, he's got the eyes that'll fix the problem.
Yeah, thank you for that. I love that, Wendy. Dawn, what did you want to add to that?
Well, what they're doing is not working because it needs to get to a level where they will apologize and take responsibility.
Yes. So the character here, kind of a collective character, don't try to do that, but we can still see story elements here, right? Has to grow. Otherwise, you know, we there's no resolution. The story has to resolve itself. And I think we kind of see that at the end because they're like just poking their faces. Almost like puppy dog faces, you know, it's like, I'm like almost like a puppy dog when it comes. I don't even have a dog, but you know, they come and like, I'm sorry, you know, and they're all lined up and it's kind of cute. But it's, can you feel like there's a shift there? Instead of, I'll go get the key, we'll just eat outside, you know, from over here anyway, shoot, it's Brussels sprouts. They're not thinking like togetherness. And then instead they're just poking their heads in the door. They're not trying to bang the door down anymore. They've changed. There's a resolution, even in a 1 minute clip. Isn't that cool? Yeah, you guys know a lot about story now, right? Isn't that fun? Would you have been able to do this 8 weeks ago, you know? Isn't that super cool? You guys, amazing work. And super fun. You won't be able to see movies the same way again. You know, it's like, cool, I see that. You know, it makes it way more fun, I think. It's like, I know what's going on here. All right. And you know anyway, but you know consciously. Like, you always knew a lot about story, but you start to know consciously. Okay. And the theme, if you had to say it, like, what's the idea about people that's being expressed? And we might express it differently, but you know, and there can be like different ways that we will see that. And I will say just briefly that, you know, a novel, for instance, could have multiple themes. Forget I said that, just have one theme in your talks, okay? But if we end up expressing a slightly different theme, probably people will still go, yeah, I can see that in there. There's an idea that's being expressed. And if you had to say what idea is being expressed about human beings, and we see that idea, we see the theme by how the characters treat each other. Usually it's going to be expressed by how they treat each other. So if you had to articulate something it's saying about humanity, somebody just take a stab at it.
That friends forgive each other and find a way through even when they let each other down.
Yeah. Doesn't that make sense? And we might say it a little bit differently. We might say togetherness matters and let go of the, you know, and make sure that you resolve whatever's going on because it matters that we're together. Like, we might say it a little bit differently, but can you feel like, right, it's not just a bunch of random stuff. It's trying to say something about who we are as human beings. And Marnie, say how you said it again.
Sorry, I put
peanut butter. Yeah, you're right, mid-bite. Isn't that, it's just like when you're at a restaurant, right? They always do that.
That friends find a way through even when people have done things that have wronged each other. They'll ultimately come out to the good.
Right. Now, is that an arguable statement? Could some people say the opposite? They could, right? They might say, some people might say good friends never forgive because there should never be anything to forgive, right? What is it? Oh, isn't that from an old movie? Love means never having to say you're sorry. You know, like, other statements are possible. Other people might argue something else. And so therefore that is a theme, not like just like love. You can't argue against what does that even mean? So there's a theme. There's something he's trying to say, all that in a 1 minute clip. Isn't that cool? All right. Since this was our first clip, I just want to hear from, you know, one or two of you, just a sentence or two, just a short, like, what's your aha in this? What did you love about this? What was fun for you as we're looking at just this little clip and you're seeing with different eyes than maybe you've ever seen before in just a, you know, a piece of story. Let's hear an aha from one or two of you. Who would like to go first? Yeah, thanks, Dawn.
Watching it this way, it helps to identify the parts of the story, the elements of the story.
Yay, yes. On the court, what does it look like? So we start playing with it. We start being more familiar with these. Fantastic. Thank you. Let's hear from one more of you who would like to share. Marnie, thank you.
Even though you see all the individual elements, you see how they play together.
Yes, thank you. I love that because I have to teach them to you one at a time. But it's kind of artificial too. It's like, how could you have character without a plot? Things have to happen to somebody. And why do they happen? Because you're trying to say something. You know, and how do you find out what that thing is that you're saying about the world? Well, it's like how the characters interact with each other. Like, they're all these things play together, right? And then there's even a bit of that we could say about point of view here. I don't want to go deeply into that, but like, we're seeing through the eyes of those who are outside, aren't we? That's how I see it. We're our point of view is like, we want to come in, right? Even that element is in there. So we flash over to them, but we're seeing the story through. We want to get in, they won't let us in. Right? Okay, cool, huh? All these elements in just even a little clip. All right, anything else wanting to be said before we go watch another clip? Go, that sounds like we're going to the other room. Can you can tell, like, I'm just like a little kid sharing this with you. I'm so, so happy about this. All right, let's go grab another clip. All right, let me find it. Why is it not letting me out of there? Okay. Let me see. What was the next one that I wanted to do? Yeah, this is a fun one. Let's do that one next. So this is from, you know, at Super Bowl, companies pay tons of money to have like just a little clip at the Super Bowl. And I think what I want to do with this is, do I want to tell you this first? I wrote it down. Okay, this is gonna, okay, yeah, this will be fun. At least it'll be fun to me. I hope it's fun to you too, for you too. Remember facts tell, story sell. I found on a website something that they said about this, okay? So this one is, it's called, it's an ad by General Motors. And here's what somebody wrote about what was going on behind the scenes. Okay, so just listen to these facts for a minute. General Motors appears to be going all out in its transition to an electric vehicle EV fleet. Last week, GM dropped the bombshell announcement that it planned to, stop making gas-powered cars, trucks, and SUVs by 2035. While not the market force it once was, GM still accounted for 17% U.S. auto market share in 2019. The largest, are you still with me? You're all falling asleep, aren't you? Blah, 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 blah. Nobody cares. But they do care about this Super Bowl clip ad because it's a story. It's a story. So without further ado then, let's watch this story. Have I got the right one? There it is. Okay. Can I get this one to you? Here we go. Okay. Enjoy. Oh, wait. Share sound. Yes. Okay. Here we go. Ooh, did I get the right one? Oh, that's because it's at the end. Okay, hang on, hang tight. Let me see if I can...
Did you know that Norway sells way more electric cars per capita than the U.S.? Norway. Well, I won't stand for it. Never mind. With GM's new Ultium battery, we're gonna crush those losers. Crush them! Let's go, America! Keenan, Norway's out EVing us.
Wait, what's this?
Oh, it's my daughter's birthday. She's really into pirates lately.
I don't care. Grab an EV, meet me in Norway.
Okay, can I say goodbye to my family?
Nope.
All right.
Ah! Awkwafina, sorry to disturb you, but Norway's beating us at EVs. Meet me there in an hour.
Can I ride with you?
No!
GM's Ultium battery is made for all types of vehicles, so soon everyone can drive an EV.
Oh!
Why don't we all just go together?
No one will. He's probably flying private.
Hey, Norway, listen up, you fish-loving...
Oh, this place is adorable. Damn it! Where are you guys?
We're in Finland. Where are you?
I'm in Norway.
Norway? You're in Sweden.
Oh, damn it!
Okay. Isn't that fun? An ad, another story. So, no wrong answers here. Tell me what you see. What did you notice? What did you love? What story elements could you pick out? What grabbed your attention? Who would like to go first? I know you're all eating your popcorn. I love that. You go for it. It's a popcorn moment. What did you see in the No Way Norway Super Bowl? Like huge response to this ad. What story elements did you see?
I'm trying to figure out how to say this. That's one of those ads that there's a bit of a cultural interpretation to. And so I would suspect it's meant to appeal to the American national identity.
So I love what you're saying here, Marnie, because it's for a particular audience. And Marnie saying this as a I'm Canadian too, right? So, and maybe not every single American would feel this way clearly, right? It's a certain type of American, like a certain segment of a US audience that this is pitched toward. Why would you say that, Marnie?
Well, just sort of the whole competition and the you know, sense that they need to go tackle this and have some, you know, hold the number one position kind of thing.
You could tell by the way Marnie's talking about it that she is not the target audience. She is not the ideal listener or watcher. So how perfect is that? Your stories you want them to appeal to a particular audience. And when they do, they're not going to appeal to others. And that's perfect. That's what you want. I love that that's being illustrated here. I didn't even think about that part of it when I chose this clip. Fantastic. All right. Thank you, Marnie. Beautiful. What else do you notice then about this clip?
You mean me or anyone?
You, Marnie, or anybody. You can all leap in.
Yeah. So, I mean, the use of humor and of unexpected elements to kind of draw your attention in, and the imagery and the symbolism of the different countries, and, you know, even the fact that they end up in the wrong countries and those countries are represented by very specific things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the images of that particular country are meant to stand for what? You're saying the imagery and symbolism. So let's break that down. Like, what image means what, you think?
Well, that's probably where me as a wrong target audience saw something different. So it would be interesting to hear from the Americans what they saw, because what I saw was sort of this competition that maybe isn't relevant.
Well, and see, the thing is, yeah, and the thing is, it's a really great illustration that an audience isn't, well, my audience is American or Canadian or Norwegian or whatever it is, because people are very individual. And so any particular person from the US or from Canada or whatever is going to see this quite differently, but it's built for a segment of the American audience, right? Yeah. And so let me just, let me see. I think what I want to do is, actually, let me open it up to you. Anybody else want to say anything else about this clip before I start? I want to underline a few things that I see here. Yeah, Dawn, go ahead.
I think it is for a target audience when you say it's a Super Bowl commercial, because when I watch something like this, I see us as really not very smart as Americans.
So isn't it interesting that the theme, see, this is related to theme, because the idea that it's putting across is not one that is grabbing you. You're not the target audience here.
And again, no, I tune out because I get angry.
Right. And see, here, the thing is, that's the difference too between, we don't talk about this so deeply in Story Mastery, but we talk about it in other parts of our year-long journey. That's the difference between target audience. Like, we can say, I want the person to be from the US, for instance, and I want them to be from this demographic or something. That doesn't get to the deepest part of it. Who is that person? What, you know, who's your ideal client? What are they actually like? What are their likes and dislikes? And what, you know, what keeps them, you know, up at night? What do they worry about? What do they love? And that's why we have to be so specific about our audience, because you guys don't even want to talk about, I find that fascinating. You guys don't even want to talk about this story because you are so not, those who've spoken anyway, are so not the ideal client. So let me underline. So just, yeah, remember how much that piece about the ideal, who's listening really matters. And we want that audience member to see themselves in the hero of the journey and whoever's at the center of the journey. And you guys are not resonating with this one, right? But see, I just look at it as story. I love this because I'm just looking at the story, right? I don't have to agree with the theme of it to be fascinated by the story. Make sense? And I want to learn about it from the story perspective. And from a story perspective, what are some of the things that I see here? You were bored to death by the, you know, all the facts and figures, right? And maybe you're repulsed by, some of you are actually repulsed by the story. I find that really fascinating. And when they're just saying, well, we want to create more electric cars by such and such a year, fact, no one cares. And instead, for this particular audience, Norway sells, it's no way Norway, right? Norway sells way more, I think there are people who are watching the Super Bowl into deep competition, right? Competitive spirit. And the problem is Norway sells way more electric cars than the US. That's the problem. And what's the desire of that central character? It's clear who the central character is. We don't have to say it. It's like guy at the center, right? You know? So what's his desire? One central character, we see the same elements again. One central character and has a desire. What's the desire? What's the external desire?
I think he wants to prove like how amazing the American car is and that it should be doing better. People should be buying that car should be doing way better than Norway. How is this possible that this American made car is not outperforming?
So the internal desire, you guys have been pointing to it all along that you were not resonating with, is like, we're the best. We should be the best. I want to show myself to be the best. And again, you're not the target audience for this, right? But so that's the internal desire. What's the external desire? They're always there in a story, right? When we look.
Does it have to do with like him getting and like going and gathering the troops and going to Norway? I don't know why he's going all the way to Norway, but like he has a desire to get to Norway to prove that his internal desire.
Yes. So there's like a quest. There's a desire. The problem is that they sell way more electric cars than in the U.S. And so this sparks inciting incident. There's something that kicks off the action. I haven't talked too much about that. There's something that kicks off the action. Oh no, he's found that out. So now he's going to go to Norway and show them, right? So the external desire is to get to Norway and show them, right? It's a very archetypally masculinized story, right? And he says, we're going to crush those losers, right? Again, you can hear all the battle language, right? And, you know, let's go America, right? And the internal desire to prove that we're the best, to prove that we can do it. And so you can see how this is functioning as an ad as well, right? Because for those that appeals to, it's like, yes, I'm going to buy that vehicle. And when I buy that vehicle, the vehicle starts to take on that image. Is it something we see, right? That vehicle starts to take on a symbolic weight. Can you finish off that sentence for me? When I buy this car, what do I know about myself?
I'm supporting America and I'm showing the world that America's the best.
Uh-huh. That's why you guys are shaking your heads, right? Many of you, right? So the car isn't just like a car is a car. But the car takes on a symbolic meaning that they have placed there, the writers of this has placed on it. So then when I go to the car shop, I'm going to buy that car because then I know that I'm the best, my country is the best, and we will win, all right? And you can see on this, you guys really don't like this one, but you can see all the story elements, right? You can see that there's obstacles all the way along the way. There's like first the globe, and then his hand is stuck in the globe. It's like, oh shoot, right? And then he's gathering his troops, you know, because this is part of the hero's journey, by the way, that there's a hero, but there's always, you know, troops gathered alongside, some friends and allies who come along. I haven't talked that much. This is like one way to look at plot. They always gather their friends beside them, right? You can see that element of story that we haven't talked too much about in this clip. And then there's obstacles along the way, like he almost gets shot by the arrow and the guy doesn't want to, you know, he's dressed up in pirate stuff and he doesn't want to leave his family. He's like, doesn't matter, come here, right? So these are little mini obstacles along the way. And then, you know, can I come with you? Because he needs his troops with him. No, you can't come with me. Then they've got to find their own route. These are all obstacles, both that are going to thwart the internal and the external desire. And then it's like, oh, he's probably going first class, but is there another obstacle there? It's like, I'm going to get there quickly and easily. Now he's like throwing up on the side of the boat instead. And then it's like, wait, yay, finally we're here. Oh no, I can't, another obstacle. I can't see my troops. Wow, that's because they went to, where did they go? They went to, they end up in Finland and the others end up in Sweden. And actually the idea that is, yeah, you're shaking your head, but why are you shaking your head though? That's interesting to me, right? What is this story doing that the theme of the story is so repulsive to many of you that you're disengaged from the story? And that's good, stories work that way. Some people will be repulsed. We have to be okay with that. Because a story appeals to a particular audience. Somebody's gonna just lap this up and they're the ones gonna be buying those cars, okay? And they would position this ad very differently for a different audience. If they were trying to sell those cars to you, they might want to sell those cars to you too. They would need a different kind of ad, a different kind of story to appeal to a different kind of audience, right? It illustrates that point about audience so perfectly. I didn't know it was going to do that, but it did that, right? And
Michelle, yeah. I was going to say, I was glad to hear Dawn's comment, because that's what I was not articulating, is that my perception is, these people misread what they were actually putting forward in front of people. And I get it, there's a target audience, which we know would be, you know, male, competitive, sports-minded, you know, America first kind of message. And that worked really well when they had, you know, Like a Rock and American Tough and all those kinds of concepts. But this one, to me, most people in the world other than that one small target audience would look at this and see a parody that maybe wasn't meant to be
right.
quite the parody it was. and maybe it was, because with the actor that's there, that's what he's known for. Mm-hmm. But it left me kind of going, there's the lesson of, you have messages and meta messages. And what they said and what they thought they said might not have matched.
What we think we're saying and then what we're actually saying. I thought this is getting to a level of how stories work at a much more nuanced level than I was like thinking we would go to. But I'm not surprised, because you guys, right? And so even at one of the things that's probably obnoxious to you as well, when you look at this commercial, is they end up in different places. And it's like, because to their eyes, well, all those countries really look the same. There's no distinction between them, right? And so we could read this story differently as straight on, you know, US the best. We could read it as a parody, like, oh, we've all, you know, as a US culture, the US has always thought of themselves as so best. So we're going to make fun of that and how it actually happens. But, you know, I think that's giving it more than is due, right? Dawn, go ahead. I see Marty shaking her head. Dawn, no way.
I have to say something to put in context of why I have a reaction. I would want to see the clip again because I really tuned out. I was in Canada at the time when Arnold Schwarzenegger was running for governor, along with Gary Coleman and Angelina, the woman here with the pink Corvette and the boobs like this that lives out in California that I would see driving around in her little pink Corvette. And being in Canada and watching the news and seeing this on the television, realizing my veil just fell. Mm-hmm. The veil just fell. I could see things pretty clearly. So I have to put that in context of why my reaction is so strong. Mm-hmm. Is that those are very strong symbols, I think, that are images that may come across.
There's definite, you know, domination and power, even though it's playful. It's playfully done here. But these ideas, like if you want to say what the theme is here, the theme is something like, when we put our when we put ourselves into it, it's, you can see, feel the sports theme, you know, like when we put ourselves into it, we'll crush those opponents and win as we're meant to do. Right? Isn't that the theme? And again, remember I said that it's not a theme unless people could disagree. Clearly there's disagreement in this room, right? And wow, do I even want to go here? Let me think. I'm actually going to say it. I didn't even see it until we were starting to talk about this. And then going deeper into this clip, the stories have many, many levels. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but my editor says don't, so I'm going to share this with you. One of the reasons you're probably finding this, you know, many of you are not liking this at all, clearly, is the, again, the interchangeability of those other cultures. So that's what's called othering, you know, it's like there's us guys and there's those guys over there who are other, who are different from us. And, you know, we're the best and we're nothing like them. That's why we're the best. So it's promoting ideas that, you know, are not, anybody who's in this community usually isn't like, I'm better than you and I want to crush you. That's not who comes here, right? And the other reason there could be something like, because I can hear the revulsion in people. And man, I don't want to say this, but there's a kind of archetypal male gaze. That's what they, you know, there's a lot of literature about this. It's far beyond what I wanted to do here with this clip, but it's a very archetypally male gaze at, oh, these places, they're indistinguishable, but they're kind of cute. Isn't the language cute? And there's a kind of a male gaze at this, all this stuff that is interchangeable, that is not me, and I'm the dominant one, and there's that over there that's kind of cute, but I clearly dominate. And there are gendered ideas that are underlying that, and that is a one of the ideas in pornography, for instance. Like if it's not another land, it's like women, right? And it's like there's that one, or that one, and it doesn't matter who they are. And I'm the, you know, domineering male who's so blah 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 blah. That's like almost like an undercurrent of what's going on there. So like the male gaze, I did a lot of work on that in my PhD, and you know, some of my graduate study work about how the male gaze work, and that fits under point of view. Whose eyes are we seeing through? So I think in this room, there's a gendered reaction as well. It's unconscious in many in the room who are reacting here, because it's a very archetypally male gaze. All that stuff is indistinguishable, but it's kind of cute, and I'm the master here. That is, you know, again, we are clearly, you know, many in the room are not the target audience for this. Couldn't be better. I'm really pleased that I showed you this clip for a deeper reason than I thought we would get to. How much designing your story for a particular audience matters, how much you have to be willing to even be offensive to the audience you're not trying to reach. And that sounds bad, it's like, why are they doing that? But we have to be willing to say things that some people are not going to like if we're going to reach the people that we're trying to reach. Think of how much many of you are revolted by this in this room. When you say something and you actually stand for something, some people will have that reaction to what you're trying to say. If you're trying to say, like, for instance, like, you know, we should all cooperate because we're on this world together, you know, that's going to be a belief of mine, for instance, right? And we're meant to uplift each other together. Somebody's going to go, yeah, and that means you're going to be the sucker who's going to lose. That's stupid. And you're going to teach your kids that they're going to fail. So somebody won't like what you're saying, and that's okay. It means you're saying something. Good? I am so glad I included this clip. All right, let's hear a couple of ahas from this, because this is emotional, I know. I was like, you know, and it's interesting too, because as I was looking for clips, I noticed, and I didn't know that I was going to mention it, but I noticed that more of my clips, they're like, I actually intentionally added one with a woman at the center, because I'm like, I'm finding all these ones about guys, because I did a random search. What are people watching? And there are other reasons too that people are watching particular stories. So you're going to find this is more white and more male and that than I would like them to be, because I searched quickly to look for some popular things. But we can still learn about story. Actually, we're learning it even more deeply, I think. You won't forget about how you need to really talk to that one, that particular audience, and how much other people may react, and that's okay. I don't think that moment is you're going to remember that moment from this. Yeah, Wendy, go ahead.
I found it really interesting in this story. Like, there were plenty of obstacles, and he never actually gets to his destination, right? Like, he never actually arrives in Norway in this commercial, which is interesting and ironic. But he didn't care. Like, his passion was so, his conviction for what he was trying to, his desire was so strong that, like, he'd show up and the guy would be, he's dressed up as a pirate. And he's like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, my kid's birthday. He's like, oh, I don't care. Get in the car. Let's go. And then he's warding off the arrows. And, like, he's willing to puke all over the side of the boat. He's willing to do whatever it takes because his desire to make it happen is so strong. Like, the obstacles are there, but they don't prevent him from moving forward.
Can you hear the sports themes in that? And you're talking about the Super Bowl and, like, and how much that is emotionally going to appeal to that audience and unconsciously will appeal to them as well. It's no wonder this one shot to the top, right? Good to know. Anything else to learn? Like, tons to learn about. I watch this and I just watch the story. I want to understand how the stories work. And the thing is, like, there are stories that, when I say stories are everywhere, and you hear me say that all the time, right? There are stories everywhere in our culture, and unconsciously we're picking up stories all the time, all the time, all the time, that we don't even know we've picked up, which is why it's so important to access that inner story, because we pick it up like, hey, you know, stuff, you know, the world is hard these days. After all, we're in the midst of COVID and whatever else, right? I say that and it just, like, we feel like going, yes, it is, because that's what the news is feeding us. We pick up stories all the time. So I want to learn more and more and more about stories so we can bring to consciousness those stories that are there that are influencing us that we don't even realize. We might watch this. Some of you watch this and you're revolted by it, but you don't know why. You can end up feeling disempowered by it, but you're not disempowered by it when you're understanding how the story works, and it can become like, and even the metaphor is going to say tool in the toolbox. Instead, let me say an ingredient in your kitchen. It's a more historically female metaphor, right? But it can be an ingredient in your kitchen that you can use in order to help the people you're meant to serve. Okay, anything else about this one clip? All right. Well, I think out of anger and revulsion, I didn't know that was going to happen because I just look at the story, right? Out of anger and revulsion, I woke you all up. Is everybody still good? Can we keep going with the clips? Because you look awake now out of that because you hated that one so much. I don't mind that you hated it. It doesn't bother me. It's like, wow, what a great, you know, so much to learn from that. Anything else wanting to be said about that? Okay. Awesome. I think, let me see.
Don.
Sorry, Don, I missed you. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to say thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, because I think it's important for me to know that I had the reaction for a pretty good reason.
Yeah.
Because it was barbaric to me. If I go down to the depth of it, I don't like what it stood for.
Right,
and I should realize that what my reaction was about.
Exactly. And then we're not disempowered by that when we understand why it's happening and when we can get to the root of story. And this happens in the everyday world too. Like, there's smaller versions of that in the everyday world. There are, and it's certainly men and it's women, you know, it's archetypally male, that kind of macho, some whatever, right? And then if you think about what the image of the country is, right? So then that's the image that's put forward about the US and how not fair that is too, because it's certainly not including all the voices in a country. So then the country gets to be, you're seen as that. And then what happens to the lives of people living in that? Actually, that's directly related to some of my PhD work. Because I wanted to understand things about nationalism and so on too. Like, there's threads I don't usually talk about. I don't think I've ever mentioned that in this community ever. Yeah. Great, great, very sophisticated work about story here, you guys.
Even think about the symbols that you're talking about and the images of the pirate. And it's just so interesting if you go into it.
Yeah. And, you know, pirate, I'm dressed as a pirate, and there's almost like a kind of, I think the pirate there is sort of almost like pirates could mean bad. Pirates could mean stealing stuff. Pirates could mean danger. That's not what this image means in this context. Can you hear it? So it gives us an idea that images are also in the context of the story, and then by the other elements, we make them mean something. This pirate is more like maybe playful, swashbuckling, out for adventure, you know? So yes, yeah, so he's not, you know, that's supposed to be dressed up for the kids, but really the way it functions in the story is us swashbuckling adventurers will go, and there's a Columbus theme here too, you know? Off to a new land to conquer it. There's colonialism in here too. I had no idea I was going to go to that depth of what's going on in that story, right? But there's ideas that are being promoted here about colonialism. This again is part of my PhD work, right? Around gender, right? Gendered themes. There's a lot of domination and power, and it appeals to a certain segment of the audience that then will go out and buy a car. And also, if you think about it, like, why would they do this in front of a Super Bowl audience? Because a Super Bowl audience, like, well, my idea of who that person is like, well, I'm not going to buy an electric car because that's that wimpy stuff. I'm going to buy my big car that, you know, like, maybe that's stereotypical of me, but you get it? So they're changing the codes of what it means. No, now electric code means, you know, testosterone, means male power, means, can you see how they made it mean the opposite of what it probably mostly means in the culture? They're working to change those codes to get that segment of the population to buy that thing.
Great. And that works because it's Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
So that's his shtick, if you will, right? That he sort of represents one thing but means something else. Mm-hmm. And so the people on the inside of that joke will understand immediately that he actually represents something for them. But, you know, as soon as I see him as an actor, I'm gone. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, right? Like it's, it's just interesting.
I hope you're all okay that I showed you this. It's like it gives us back power to see how these things are working. And I want to put this power in the hands of people, of you, that you can do good work with this story power. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Well, this really illustrates point of view, right?
Whose eyes are we seeing through?
Right, because from this audience's eyes, like, this is, put it in the garbage, put it in the trash, right? And I think that to some extent, this community doesn't want to believe that there is a large community of people that really loved this commercial.
And again, I hear everything that you're saying, and you know who I am and the work that I do. You know that I'm not teaching people power over. It's the opposite of that, right? It's not about that. But when I see this, I look at the elements of story. I want to understand how the story works. I want to understand at a very nuanced level how to utilize this tool, this ingredient in the kitchen, this whatever you want to call that, in order to serve people, in order to help. Yeah. No better illustration of all these concepts. I'm like, so I hope you're okay that I showed you this. Talk about getting really understanding how these elements work. I'm really glad I showed you this. I hope you guys don't mind. I'm really glad. Perfect illustration. Okay. Anything else wanting to be said? This one touched a lot of chords. Okay. And remember, I showed you that Super Bowl commercial of the Always pad. They showed that in front of the Super Bowl. So, and this, now you're starting to get at like why I was doing the work that with my PhD that I was doing, because it's like, when we understand in a nuanced way how stories work, we can actually change cultural codes and thereby the world. Imagine taking this audience as we envision them, at least, and as that commercial creator envisions them, and actually tapping into a different part of their humanity. And that was like, that commercial also had resounding success in front of that audience about always pads. That's phenomenal. And it's about girl power. We can, when we understand how those stories work, we can change the codes in our culture, in our world, and actually make a real difference at a root level. Wow. Talk about story mastery. And you can even hear me playing with the codes now. When I call this course story mastery, from inside the party, I'd probably call it something else. But I am using those kind of masculinized codes. Story mastery is gendered masculine, way beyond the scope of what I was going to talk about. But I do that on purpose because it taps into, like, people feel empowered by that. Like if I could have that mastery, because sometimes like this audience felt disempowered by that commercial, right? So let's give that power back to people who can actually use it. So there's a whole lot going on of story, even in how we name things. And then the words we choose, connect that with word mastery. You guys, brilliant work. If you're getting this, if this is making sense to you, if this sounds like this is important, raise your hand. Brilliant work. We have, Yvonne, do you remember us ever getting to this level in ever? I'm so excited because you guys are pulling this level out of me and us. It's because of the level that you're playing at. Yvonne, since 2014, we have not got here before. You guys rock. Well done. I love this. Put the tools in the hands of people who can actually use them for good, for the good of all, right? Well done. All right. Ready for another movie clip? Y'all good? Still with me? Okay. Like I say, I thought we might need a break, but y'all got lots of energy out of anger. You know, all our emotions are given to us for a reason. Okay, let me go find the other clip.
And Heidi joined us. Hi, Heidi.
Heidi. I also want to go back to the original question. Heidi, kind of interesting to hear that question here. I asked everybody here at the beginning, like, what are you excited about for this evening? And coming in the middle of this, right? What excites you about this evening? Let's hear from you about that.
Well, I'm very excited. I was sad I missed the clip, and it was like, and yet, so, you know, hearing everyone, the back and forth of it, just feeling that I was with my people. Hmm. Who also care about every level of story and appreciating the power of going through the different levels and not being afraid to name it.
Yeah.
To call a spade a spade.
Right.
And all the things attached. You know, there's a concept and then everything that gets attached. And that we just swallow as if it belongs. And what if it doesn't? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just very, I was like, darn, I missed that clip, although I started to gather what it was.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, the next one, I can be first person and have my own experience with you. And I'm just relishing that.
I love this. Thank you for that. And our stories, no better illustration, our stories connect us. Because not only are we looking at these stories and how they're working, we are in the midst of telling stories right now. Stories are happening always. Yeah. And the way that stories are being told here connect us. If you plucked out the one who most embodies all the qualities that advertisement is calling to, if you called that person out of that audience and flung to them here, they'd probably be offended by a lot of things we're saying, right? So you have to be willing to speak our truths with our stories, and our stories connect us, right? And then also, our stories connect us. Leave it at that.
I felt very close to each person as they shared how they were experiencing the story.
Yeah.
And I really cared. I really wanted to know. I really wanted to go deeper with each person. what did you feel? Oh my goodness. Oh, and I just was so pulled in to their story about the story.
Yeah. Beautiful. And the thing is, as we start to understand how these stories are working and we bump into them with people that we're having, you know, challenge, and we feel disempowered in the moment, we don't know why. When you understand how these codes are working, how these stories are working, you end up empowered again, because like, that's why I'm feeling this way. And then you can address what's actually going on instead of like on the surface of things. Because somebody might be saying, I don't know, just like, we can buy a good car, but with if all of this is underneath it, and you'll be going, why am I reacting to that, right? So both how we're reacting, and then again, how we can serve people. So, okay, really, really great. Thank you. Let's go to our next clip. Let me make sure I can find it here. Yes, I think I got it. Okay. I'm just gonna share my screen. All right, enjoy.
In your window, let your customers decide. My family's been going to you my whole life.
Look, the big companies, they pay me for my shelf space. Maybe you can sell one of your mops to those big companies, and maybe they'll put it on my shelf.
It's expensive at $19.95, but it's the only mop you'll ever have to buy.
But I don't want people to buy one mop for $20 and never have to buy another mop again. I'd rather they keep buying our mops at $5 50 times, 100 times. Look, you were broke, bored, you had an idea. So what? Lots of people have ideas. Go home. Please, take care of your family.
Hi, would you like to try a new mop? Well, it's the only mop you'll ever have to buy. Hi, would you like to try a new mop?
No.
It's self-ringing. You can remove the mop head, throw it in the washing machine. No germs.
No.
No.
No?
You want to just try it?
I'll just try it.
And self-ring, see? No other mop does this.
Come and try the brand new mop. It's the mop of the future.
No, thanks.
Want to try this mop, ladies?
What's this?
It's a brand new mop.
Oh.
You can wring it without getting your hands dirty.
I don't think so.
Come on, try it. It's the mop of the future.
Self-wring it, huh?
Yeah.
All right. I do like the idea of that. You know, I hate having to touch the mop head after I get done cleaning the bathroom floor. I always think that's disgusting, you know? Wow. It really does get all the corners that my sponge mop won't get. All those crannies where my kids spill their juice.
I really like it. Can we buy it?
Take it easy, Christy. Wow. I mean, that's just amazing. You really don't have to touch it. Look at that. You know what would make this perfect? If you could remove the mop head, put it in the washing machine, really get it clean.
That'd be great. Okay. You can.
What? Are you serious?
No.
Well, how much is this mop?
It's $19.95.
No, that's too much. But I guess, I mean, if it is the only mop that you ever have to buy, I mean, we keep buying those
$5
mops.
Sweetie, you remember Anne?
Okay. Now you're all smiling. That's a very different clip, right? So what did you see? This is from that movie Joy. I talked about that a couple classes ago, I think. So based on the true story of a woman who built a huge company. And yeah, this is like based on her story that, that happened like this, right? In the face of many obstacles. So what did you notice in the clip? What story elements jump out at you, or what just grabbed your attention?
I love when she figures out, sorry, Heidi, I just am jumping in tonight. But I love when she, like, that she just keeps coming up with ideas, right? Like, she does the things that she thinks are going to work. And then she's like, all right, let's just go to the Kmart parking lot and just start showing people how this works. And then even the way she's talking about it, it's like, it's almost, it's so good. It's too good to be true. People are just are like, man, I don't know if I believe you. But then she steps aside and plays a different role, right? She, instead of being becoming the person who's advertising the mop, she becomes a potential client and starts talking about all the things that she would want her mop to do. And so she changes the story that she's telling by playing a different role.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Yes, beautiful. And then, you know, she gets to embody that ideal client, doesn't she? Right? It's like all the things that she wants people to say, she gets to say them. And you can tell that it comes out of her own frustration and experience about how mops work, right? So yeah, beautiful. Heidi.
I got surprised. So I felt sad in the beginning that this is her baby, her thing, her invention that she created to solve a problem, and it's an amazing product. And I was so sad that she was not credible representing it and speaking her truth from her voice, that she's going to be seen as this slick salesperson trying to benefit because it was hers and it could only be received and heard when somebody else was talking about it. So, oh, so she doesn't have a vested interest. And then I was like, oh, wait, I thought the friend spontaneously showed up and was like, you know, don't give up. Like, I'm thinking, you know, the friend is like, oh, no, don't give up. I'm going to take over for you. I'm your friend. I'm going to take over. I didn't see it as a plan. and so when at first, and then eventually I thought, oh, wait, was that a plan? But that didn't hit me. When the friend took it, I was like, oh, my God, her friend has to jump in. And oh, I'm so sad that it has to be like that. Until I realized, okay, she planned it that way. But even that she had to plan that, I was like, man, why can't she be the one to talk about her mop?
So different audiences. And it's so interesting because the other day we saw that too, when we were talking about imagery and the smell of coffee, wasn't it? It was you, Wendy, and Heidi, right? This reaction, that reaction. So images, we pick them up in, we have very different associations with something, right? And this story, we need to be very explicit to, how do I say this? To, I don't want to say control those impressions. That sounds like power over, but I mean, we lay those down very specifically so that we were either showing people, you know, stinky coffee that we hate or coffee that we love and it means togetherness, right? And so as the writers of the story, we can put in elements that guide the reader in a particular way. But then remembering that, you know, because before we were saying, well, an American male Super Bowl watching audience is sort of like the arc that we were thinking about versus us. But then within this audience too, very different hearing of one particular clip. So remembering that our audiences are going to take it up as they do, and that's okay to leave. I haven't had a chance to talk about that in Story Mastery, but that's okay. How far do I want to go down that? Just noticing that. So when your audience says like, but whatever, it's like, that's okay. That's how they took it up. And then also we can add in, as we listen to Wendy and Heidi, for instance, and maybe we wanted that to mean her to be empowered. And then we heard what Heidi said, you know, Wendy feels that she's empowered, but Heidi feels she's less empowered. We could put in to our story more clues that show her empowerment if we wanted to. So we listen to the audience and then we can reshape our story, right? That connects with word mastery, where we're talking about planning, drafting, and revising. I didn't intend to go there at all, but your comments raise that for me. There's the story knowledge that we're learning about, and then how words work and how we craft them. And when we listen to our audiences, we get to reshape our stories as we choose. We get to reshape our words as we choose. nice observations. You guys are going to this level, and I want to go to, okay, there's one main character. We see that again. I just want to underline that. There's one main character. She has a desire. I want to go back to some of the basics here because we see it over and over and over again in an ad, in a film, in a TV show, right? What's her desire?
She wants to sell her mop.
She wants to sell her mop. There must be a clear desire. We have to know what that person wants or we're not going to be interested in the story. Very clear desire. Is that the internal or the external desire?
External.
That's the external desire. Can we hear an internal desire here? Or was that just missing in the story? Marnie's nodding. So Marnie, what's the internal desire?
Support her family.
Say it again.
To support her family.
Okay. Yeah. So she wants to support her family. Like if she sells these mops, she can support her family. We can see that. Like, did she ever say that? I'm trying to remember.
Well, that's what I was just trying to think. I mean, I know the story. So,
But in this clip, did she say that? Because I don't think she did. But I love what you said. I'm mentioning that is that it doesn't have to be explicitly stated. That's that show don't tell. If we say, listen, for the car audience, let's go back to that for a minute. If they said, listen, America's the best, and if you buy this car, you're going to be powerful and you're going to know that America's the best, they would go, no, that's not true. Sometimes we just say it, but isn't that message in there very clearly? And the same here, Marnie's going, but she wants to support her family. Marnie might be thinking about the larger movie, right? But we can see that in this clip, that idea is there. And we're shown that, we're not told that. It's implicit, but we can pick up what Marnie's saying, even if we haven't seen the whole film. Why, Wendy?
Well, it's pointed towards by the man. Like the man says to her, just go home and support your family. Like the way that I think that you should support your family, instead of like here she is with this desire to support her family by selling the mops. So it's pointed at from another character. But I also think she has a desire to change women's lives with this mop that is going to work so much better than any mop they have ever used before. She knows she has a good idea and she wants to change the world. She wants to help other women.
Yes. And can't you hear, like, it's just like when we're talking about Peaceful Warrior and all of the internal desires. He wants the gold, but no, that's not what he wants. She wants to sell mops. Yes, of course he wants the gold. Yes, of course she wants to sell mops. But yes, she wants to change the lives of women. She wants to change how the industry works. She wants to, and in supporting her family, yes, there's the economic support, but there she is and holding a little girl's hand, right? And so we can, the images give us the ideas and how the characters interact. Tell us what the theme is, tell us what the ideas are. So instead of clubbing our audience over the head with the idea, it arises inside them. They draw the conclusions and then it's so much more powerful. If the movie came on and said, we want to now show you how women can be powerful, everybody falls asleep, even though we in this room may well believe that. But you show it through the sale of wanting to sell a mop and her deep desire, external and internal, then we come along with the story when we're the ideal audience, right? Maybe if we're not the ideal audience, we're going to hear it in a very different way, right? So internal and external desires. And what do we care more about here, really, when we think about it? Do we really care so much externally that she gets to sell that particular mop? Why does this, if this clip grabs you, why does it grab you? What's the internal desire? Yeah, we touched on it, but Dawn, go ahead.
I see her wanting to provide value.
Yes, provide value, support women, support her family. Like all those, aren't those all internal desires represented by that external object of selling the mop, right? Yvonne, something to add?
I think also my desire for her is for her to succeed. Like it aggravated me in the beginning, definitely the old guy behind the desk, you know, who was kind of like, why didn't you just go home? You're probably bored. I just wanted to reach out and touch somebody.
Thank you for mentioning him, because I knew that we were going to go, if nobody brought him up, I was going to bring him up, because we haven't talked about, you know, so there's one central character. They have a clear desire. There's an internal and an external desire. There are obstacles, and he's one of the main obstacles there, isn't he? Because it's like, yeah, it's exactly, he's so patronizing, isn't he? To go home, dearie. Yeah, that's nice, but, and think of how does the world of business work for him? Tell me a little bit about his values, how he sees the world, how business should work. Yeah, Wendy.
Well, it's just like the whole, I mean, his whole story, right? He's like, I don't want to sell a mop. I don't want to sell a one-time mop that no one's ever going to have to come back and buy from me again. Like, I want people to have to buy a $5 mop every single month. That's how my business runs. I don't want to provide better value for people. I want cheaper stuff so they'll buy more.
And you can hear some echoes from the previous. These are ideologically opposed clips, right? Because in the one is like, I'm the best, and you know, you can be the best, you know, America's the best, and not like those other people, right? And some of those attitudes are placed in him, right? There's a kind of male dominance thing going on there. It's like, hey, dearie, you just go away, and you know, and you're a faceless, nameless, whatever, just go home, you don't matter, and you don't understand really how business works. It works like, you know, we want to sell more, don't you know, because it's really about the profit. And so you can see her other internal desire that's pointed to. It's like, not only am I going to sell mops, I'm going to support women, and I'm going to change the way the industry works, because I want them to be able to buy one mop. Yes, it's a little more expensive. Yes, it's going to be hard. What's one of the obstacles? Because they're used to buying cheap mops, but then they don't have to keep buying mops, and they will not be the slave to these corporations that are trying to rip off women. All of that is part of the internal desire, isn't it? Yeah, Yvonne, did you raise your hand, or was it Dawn? You're right on the same side of my screen. And did I see a hand?
No, slapping.
Right, yes, I am. Marnie, go ahead.
And there's the interesting, there's the dichotomy of the small businessman and then the corporate businessman, and then her going into the parking lot. And I don't know if it's intentional or not, but there's an interesting racial dynamic that comes into the parking lot scene, that when she's trying to sell the mop, you know, people are not buying it. But when it changes, and it's the Hispanic woman and she's selling it, if you notice, the women that stop are predominantly other racial. Hmm. So, you know, I thought, well, now that's an interesting power dynamic that they may or may not have intended to represent there. But, you know, and so you see in the character, she can't help but keep going. She has that desire to support her family and to give other women the benefit of something that she's discovered. And so, you know, I liken that to ourselves, right? There's a purpose that's driving her. The character has to keep moving forward despite everything. And she's constantly told by everybody, right? There's no purpose for this.
Right.
So, you know, you don't have to know the rest of the film to kind of be able to guess that this is someone who's pretty tenacious and going to keep trying different ways of approaching it.
Right. So, oh my goodness, so much about how stories work and what you're saying, because there's one central character who has a clear desire. There's an inner desire and an, you know, an internal desire, external desire. It's the internal one that we care about. And then the character has to change. We haven't talked too much about that, right? But we talked about that with the Friends clip, right? Has to change. And this is just one clip, but there are many stories inside our larger stories, right? So this is just even a clip from the film, but there's a little mini story going on here. So the character has to change in order to, in order to get to the resolution, to get past all the obstacles. There's a shift inside. Like, we talked about that a lot with Peaceful Warrior. There's a shift inside that allows for the kind of new insight, the new idea, the theme that then the story can resolve. And you could see hints of this here. I think it wouldn't be too much to say that, you know, with he's one of the external obstacles that causes probably an internal obstacle in her. He's saying it, but you know, as she's sitting there and you see her face, it's just seeing her face. And it's like, in the face of that obstacle, we're right there with her and we're cheering for her, and it's us in her, because you can see her both deflated, and then that's that, but then also that spark of determination, like, I'm going to do this in spite of you, et cetera. So from the shopkeeper, that's like, well, you know, they pay me, is like how big money works, and she's outside of it. So there's outsider insider themes going on here too, right? And that she's going to change, not only is she going to support her family, but she's going to change the industry and play by different rules. And when she wins, they win together with her friend. It's not a power over, you know, it's like we work together for the cause of uplifting all the women. So again, this clip is probably going to resonate more in this community because those are values that are shared here. Our stories have themes. They have ideas which have values. They have a worldview attached to them. It's one of the reasons that stories are so powerful, because they share and provide a worldview. And when we can have a very powerful story, people's worldviews can shift. And they need to, as entrepreneurs, they need to, because it's like, I can't, if our idea, our potential clients are like, I know I want this, but I can't ever do it. It's impossible. That worldview has to shift or we can't help them. So being able to shift a worldview is huge. And so you can see a very different worldview in the one clip versus the other. And you can start to see the mechanism by which that's working in story, right? What else about this clip? Yes, Heidi.
There's a silent theme, another one, of how decisions are made or who makes decisions and how do we make decisions for ourselves and for other people, whether it's the shopkeeper's decision, I do show this mop, I don't show this mop. The man of, you know, I approve or don't approve of your idea, I decide to support you or not. How I buy a mop. What is it that how do I decide? What do I need to know about buying a mop? And I make decisions, is it who's telling me about it as opposed to what they're saying? I think how we make decisions is a huge thing, meaning take action based on what someone's telling us. Mm-hmm. And there are so many pieces of what she each frame, each vignette is somebody else making a decision that will affect her in some way that she has no control over. And each one has their own process and reason and way of making a decision. And that leaves her of, oh boy, you know, what do I do now? And she has to be quite ingenious to circumvent somehow or use the way people make decisions to her advantage, like, you know, somebody who's credible. And I thought Marnie hit it with the racial element, because are those the people using the mops the most or being hired to use the mops the most? And will know, this thing gets into corners and makes my life easier. That is who you want to listen to when it comes to whether this is a good mop or not and what's worth the money or not, because she knows. So she's credible, and I will make my decision because she said so. And it may not be because she's the high elite or the rich one, but she knows the truth about a mop. And so I think so many things are happening about deciding what to do and how to move forward that your head is spinning and you're admiring her for navigating all this.
Right, right. Beautiful. And so, you know, you can see the alignment between the central character and the audience. And we feel yes. things because we put ourselves in her shoes, right? We put ours, and then your piece about the way you're talking about decision making, All right, I want to tell you this and then I want you to forget it. Because <You know? laughs> stories work in complex ways, right? There's more than one theme that runs through a story. We could name several themes here, but then when you're writing your stories, I want you to have one theme. But I want you to know that people will hear different themes in the things that you say, right? But as entrepreneurs, we want a very clear theme, an idea that we're wanting to get across, and we underline that idea. But people will hear other things running through it because stories like life are complex, right? And so, you could say there's the theme of decision-making. You could say that there's the theme of connectedness and working together toward a common goal. There's different themes we could see there, right? Let me see, what else do I want to say about that? You've touched twice on the, both Marnie and Heidi, on the racial elements. And I want to say 5,000 things about that. Again, my both my teaching and my PhD work talked about a lot of those things, like how does power move? And what can I say to you about this briefly that will serve the best? I guess this is the thing that I want to say, that we pick up elements of the cultural story when we're telling our stories. And that's okay, because it's inevitable. And like elements about what race means, elements about what gender means, elements about all kinds of things, right? I've done a lot of work in this area. But the more conscious we are about those pieces that we're picking up, the more we get to be in the driver's seat of the story. You know, is that racialized part, you know, intentional by the writers of the story or not? I don't know, and I would need to see more of it. And we don't always know when we're looking at a story, we don't always know the writer's intentions, all right? But it's, for instance, you think of something like Black Lives Matter. People were picking, and different segments of the population were picking up stories unconsciously without knowing they were doing it to very disastrous ends. So the more we understand the stories that we're picking up both consciously and unconsciously, the more we get to be in the driver's seat of the messages that we're giving. And the more we can allow them to resonate with the people who are in front of us, because we're not just picking up a bunch of stories unconsciously and not even knowing they're there. And then we could be like repelling some of our target market because we're not understanding that one piece of them, for instance, right? So thinking about the racialized pieces in it. And I used to teach at the university about this, like a full year course on this. I'm trying to like, what can I tell you about this in a minute or two? But we would look at Harry Potter and the stories that were in it, and people don't notice things about the stories they're picking up. I love the Harry Potter series, but it's interesting to me. We would look at Harry Potter, the first book in the series, and the evil one who is, the evil one who has Voldemort, the bad guy, like hidden on him, he has Voldemort wrapped up in a turban. Well, that's not by accident. That is a nasty racial trope, a racial, thing that's going on in that book, because the bad one is wearing a turban. I don't think that J.K. Rowling did that consciously. She's picking up a part of the culture that can, and if somebody's reading it with conscious eyes, that's just like, that's not good, right? So it could be, how do we read that part about the mop and the, it's when it's the Hispanic woman who mops, we could read that in different ways. Is that because, all the women who come around are believing her more, right? And there's a race piece going on there? Is it because we assume that non-white women mop more, you know what I mean? Like it just, so there's all kinds of things happening in our story. And I want to tell you these things, not because I want to talk about it at the level that you're engaging it, all right? Stories are everywhere. You'll hear that differently by this point of this call. Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. They're circulating around us all the time. We're picking up pieces of those stories all the time, and to be in the driver's seat of our own stories that we're telling, we can at least know these basic things, right? There is a central character. They want something. Something gets in the way, that it's going to get worse until a crisis comes about. They have to make a decision, and their decision has them growing in some way. That's the theme of the story. And then the theme is represented there, the idea that the story is saying. And then they get to a new world where they've grown and now we're interested. We can use these elements of story to say things about the thing that we're selling, about our world. You know, that happens, you know, we're going to be speaking about what we think about the world as we do that. We can be empowering or disempowering our audience, depending on how we pick up these elements of story. Now, I don't want that to disempower you. It's like, oh my goodness, what am I even saying here? Instead, I want to underline the possibility, the beautiful possibility to actually touch lives at a very deep level, the more we understand how story's working. If you get that from what we're doing here, raise your hand. Let me say it again, the beautiful possibility of touching people's lives, the more we understand how story is really working, which is why I spent so many years of my life studying and wanting to understand it in order to empower people, right? Really good, you guys. Oh my goodness. You're blowing me out of, like, blowing me away with your depth and subtlety of the way that you're reading these stories. Well done, Marnie.
I was just going to say, I thought it was funny at where you ended the clip, because the dad is showing up. And so you talk about the increasing complexity of the problem. So we've seen her kind of overcome the limits that the two men put on her. And so she goes to the parking lot and starts selling it. But you could see it kind of in where it ended in the clip. But if you actually see that clip follow through, you realize that her problems were nothing compared to what they're about to be.
Right. Yes.
And so, you know, that ebb and flow of her power, and you know, she gets it and then it's gone, and then she gets it and it's gone, and she's just really starting to hit the mark with these women, and then it's gone again, right?
So right, yes. And things, we are attracted by stories where things get worse and worse, and it sounds like, why are we weird as human beings? Like, what is it? We're trying to live better and easier and happier lives. Why are we so attracted to stories where things get worse and worse? And one of the problems with our stories is we try to protect that central character. We don't want them to go through that stuff. So we try to ease off of the pain. We do that in strategy sessions, for instance. Somebody starts talking about what's really hard for them, and we skirt over it because we don't want them to be hurting. And then we jump to the solution. But as human beings, we're hardwired to want to hear those stories, because remember, our stories are about survival. Or, you know, historically, it's like you're going to get eaten by a tiger unless you hear this story. And life is complex, and we want to know how to navigate that complexity. So in watching these clips, we see how, like, even in Friends, you don't think about it, you're just watching it, it's a funny show. But there's escalating, obstacles, even in a comedy. And we're interested, and it hooks us, and to remember to have those elements. And then, because it will also, that's the way that we can underline the theme, and the theme is what we're trying to say. And so when we use that story form, people will hear us better, and then we have a chance to actually help people change, transform their lives. We end up too vanilla. You know what I'm saying? We end up like, well, you know, there's a problem. This bowl needs to be more round. So let me show you my handy dandy round bowl maker, you know, or whatever. I've got a bowl in front of me that's came to my mind, you know? There's no story there. There's nothing engaging. There's nothing people can identify with. This is facts. And that we jump to the conclusion. As we understand about story, we can go at that much deeper level to touch people's hearts, to change people's minds about something that can actually help them. All right, let me see. We're at 8:02, and I'm trying to decide. I think that's what did we do? We looked at three clips. I said I had six up my sleeve. It doesn't matter to me how many clips we look at. I think rather than trying to cram in another clip, that we instead take the these last, 9 minutes, 8 minutes, to just consolidate some of what we've learned. This itself is a consolidation. I really believe in consolidation, right? Like, let's see what we've been learning for these 8 weeks, 7 weeks so far, right? This in this 8 week series. We've learned a lot. Just think what you're able to see now. Would you have seen this before at this level of nuance and depth? You guys are amazing, right? So we're consolidating with this call all the work that we've done, seeing how it works on the court. Now let's we know things when we consolidate them, when we draw the threads together. So let's consolidate this. Let's draw the threads together. Like, what are you seeing now as possible for you about story? What are some of the ahas that you've had? Let's just do, before we go to, you know how I like to end, one aha, one inspired action, even when it's movie and popcorn night, because I think there's such value in that. We learn things. We get to hear what the other person saw. We get to see what they saw. Beautiful moment, right? But just before we go to that, let's just have a kind of like popcorn. It's perfect for popcorn and movie night. Whatever is bubbling up inside you, ahas about anything. Let's do it like popcorn first, and then we'll do it in that more organized way, right? What are you noticing now about story? What are you noticing now about, you know, how you might want to use this? What are the ahas? What's opening for you now?
I really loved, I loved that you just had a plan tonight. You had just picked some clips and then it just unfolded, right? And it unfolded very differently than you expected as you watched so many people get triggered by this clip that was just showing story, but it evoked so much emotion, not in the expected way. And so I think it's just, once again, that reminder to me to trust that as I tell my story, there are going to be people who don't like what I have to say, and that that's okay. And that's not a bad thing. Like, maybe that's inviting them to see something that they haven't wanted to look at, or that it's all for good. Like you said, I'm actually really glad I picked this clip, because there's so much here that we've learned tonight. And so trusting that I don't have to get my stories perfect, and actually that if I am getting my stories right, it means I'm making some people unhappy, because I am making a point and I have a theme and it should be disagreeable. So that was fun to see.
Fantastic. I love what you, yes. And yes, everything you've said, you're beautiful. And one piece that I want to add, because of what you've said, story gives us such power, because when we know that there's increasing kind of that as human beings, we're hardwired to listen when there's a specific desire, when there's obstacles in the way, when it gets worse and then it's resolved and we learn something new. When you think about it, how lovely that this, everything is shaped, everything has story in it. That actually is the arc of the story of this popcorn and movie gathering. Because it's like, hey, we're going to learn about story. Oh no, there's an obstacle in the way, because people are so revolted by this. Will they even be able to hear about story, what's going on in here? And that actually allows you to hear it more, because then there's more tension. It has a shape of a story form. And when we get to those moments of tension or disagreement or just emotion, and it looks like things have gone wrong, that is actually just part of story structure. So I don't get worried about stuff like that. And I always, whenever I think about moments like that, I think about Yvonne, because there was one event where that we were at together and I was training, and the room just blew up. Think of it like if we were talking like this, and the way that we're seeing the joy clip, and there was somebody from the Super Bowl, most archetypal in the audience that were like that, and put those together, and that's what happened at that event, basically, right? I was teaching stuff like that, and there were people like that going like, what?
That sounds like one of my classes every time.
Right. But I didn't care, because when you understand story form, it brings this unbelievable confidence. We know how things work. We know how conversations work. We know that what the story arc is. And then all of that is so much easier to navigate, because we know story form. It doesn't matter what's happening in between. We're in the driver's seat of that arc of story. I'm so glad you said that, Wendy. All right. I ended up talking a lot more than I planned to. We got to wrap it up here in a couple of minutes. So anything else burning to be said just before we go to the, let's go to one aha, one inspired action. It's a lovely way to hear everyone's voices at the end. Anything else bubbling up before we go to that in a more organized way? Okay. Let's wrap this up because we've got, you know, 3 minutes left. And then if anybody does want to ask some questions past 8 o'clock, I don't turn into a pumpkin at 8 o'clock. So if anybody wants this, but I want to officially close it. Then if anybody has some questions remaining, I could stay for a little bit. But let's wrap this up with, even though it's popcorn and movie night, yes, we're going to do that. Yes, I want to do that because I want to hear from each of you. I want to hear what you heard, what's opening for you, and then what you want to do with this. It could be something like, I'm just going to go watch a movie and notice stuff. It doesn't have to be something complex. Yvonne, you're up first.
Yeah. There was so much. So it was just interesting to, I think, see, you know, the importance of having one central person, even with friends. It was, you know, all of them combined, you know, the group was one. And that was, I never ever actually thought of it that way when I've seen Friends before. But when I looked at that particular segment, I was like, okay, that makes sense for them together to be the one character. So I was like, okay. So, and then, you know, just really being able to pick out, you know, what is some, you know, what is the desire? What is the, you know, what are the obstacles? And I think it will help me watch videos in a different way.
Absolutely. I'm so glad to hear this. And when you do that, every time you watch, just without even being able to help you, your understanding of story increases. I can't help but watch stories in this way. I'm doing it all the time. And so then how you get to use stories advances so much. And it's, to me, that's fun. Like, how does this work? It's like a puzzle, you know? Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Yvonne. And your inspired action.
I'm actually going to watch a couple of these again. And, you know, I'll find them and just to kind of go back and see some of the details again of it, because it's different. I think when you see it again now with all the knowledge that I have, you know, by the conversations that that came out of that, it's going to be interesting to see what else I can pick out.
Fantastic. I love it. And yes, you will see different things after our conversation in those clips and other clips. You're just going to see them differently. I love that. Thank you. Dawn, you're up next.
I find myself getting very granular on things, that going more deeply into the essence of the story and the oneness under it all. So I'm writing down the basics of the story elements, and I'm actually seeing them in totality. I'll say in the session that we can sometimes have a whole session about how someone opened the door, because again, I'm saying everything is everything. Everything is in a moment. And that's what I've been working with lately in our calls and sessions. Really seeing and going to the moment and what is happening in every moment. Everything is in there. The same thing when we watched the last clip. I was focused in on the little girl where the clip ended and what her perspective is. I don't know the story. I haven't seen this movie, but watching her and saying, "Hi, Dad," with his girlfriend, I'm expecting that, see, I don't know the story, but how everything is in that moment. Now, what is happening there?
Dawn, I love this. I love the word granular that you used, and that we, you know, we experience the moment of our lives differently when we understand story. Because there's multiple levels of story going on in our lives. There's somebody calling to us over here. There's inner things going on. And we just experience to, I experience my life differently because of all the work that I've done with story. And it's amazing how much richer it becomes, what we can understand of what's actually going on in that moment. And then again, the power in the best sense of the word that this gives us to serve others, to help, to knit a group together, to underline what's actually going on is tremendous. I love you use that word granular. Yes, beautiful. What's your inspired action?
I'm still working with the idea of what I'm bringing across in my website and working with that, because it is important to me. That's my one way to express what I want to express to people with the work that I do and what I'm going to do. So it really needs to be the way that I want it to be. So it does need to be granular, because I don't use a lot of words and I don't really want to, I don't need to bring my point across.
I love that. So it's helping you with your website and what you're going to say there. And then I want to encourage you, and this might be opening up to you as like, do you know, stories, and then, oh, there's another obstacle. And then maybe there's another desire, and the desire shifts. Like, and I know that you're on the court working with people all the time as well. But it's just like, as you're working on that website, just notice and not be, I just want to encourage you not to only be single focused over there. And what's the larger dream that website serves, so that you don't go down the rabbit hole of only being there to the exclusion of where it is that you want to go. I just, because you've mentioned it that many times, I want to just have you notice that. What's the bigger dream that the website serves?
Yeah, it's connecting with myself more deeply to understand really what it is and what direction I want to go in.
Right. Fantastic. And then as you're on the court and talking to people, those words will also shift and change on the website. The more you're interacting with people and letting that shift the website, right? So I couldn't help but mention that, because I know it's so important to you, and I love that. And then also, what's the bigger dream that is serving? Wonderful. Thank you. Beautiful. Wendy.
I just like watching this call unfold tonight has really reminded me that I can do my very best to guide people, but every single person that comes before me has their own years and years and years of story and their own perspective and their own, like, even watching the different ahas and the different inspired actions, and that each person has their own individual story and where they're at in their story and what they're working on and what is important to them. And so even if I try to guide, even if I say coffee is gross, like in my world, right? Even if I make that very clear, Heidi may still go, whatever, Wendy, I love coffee.
Absolutely.
And so it's I don't know, this theme in my world of trusting divinity, right? And trusting that the orchestrations of bringing the right people. I was chatting with a gal who decided to sign up for my 12-week course a week in. She was like, well, what are all the different, like, what do all the different, I know.
Yeah.
I have 12.
Yes. It's so great.
But she wanted to know, like, well, what are all the different women seeking, right? And so I went back through, like, different conversations, and different women were attracted to different bits, different sections, different, like, they are all seeking something probably totally different than the other women, but it will still serve them and help them and benefit them by coming into this group, even though they all have different desires.
This is beautiful, Wendy, because one of the things it does is it lets us off the hook of beating ourselves up so much. It's like, oh no, I didn't say it right and they didn't get it. Can you see when we understand the complexity of story that we're not going to do that? It's like, it, to me, it's more like, isn't that interesting? Like when we came to that point of like, and how you all reacted so viscerally to it. It's just, to me, I'm just like, that's so interesting. And then we move from there because the nature of story is such that it's like that. So we don't get so caught up in things. And then we just continue with our work. And then we learn more from what people are saying. And we can still have that thread through. Like nothing, when we know how story goes, nothing will, like, we still get there. They can have all those diverse intentions and desires and so on, but when you could still be in the driver's seat, like, I'm thrilled with how this went. It didn't go at all how I expected in that moment, and I'm thrilled with that as well. And that's the adventure of it, right? The story is also about adventure, and it's still it to me it got even deeper. What I was hoping of this for you, and knowing that we would get there, understanding how the elements of story work, seeing it played out in multiple different arenas, knowing that you know so much more about story than you think, and you can use this right here and right now, and that it's complex, but it's also immediately accessible to you, like all those things. You know, we got there, and it doesn't have to be, we don't have to control all the elements of the story en route in order to get where we want to go. Wendy, beautiful, thank you. What's your inspired action?
I am going to just sneak into my little gal's room and have joy with her as we put her to bed, because my husband's been doing most of it. But I'm going to sneak in for the tail end and just love on her.
Love it. I love it. You know, it's just, this is what's next in front of me to do. It's simple. It's aligned. Love it. Marnie.
I think along the same lines, you know, the concept of desire, the stated desire and the more deeper desire that's behind it. And in the same way that we're learning how to deconstruct these movies, you know, listening to people, really listening to hear the story that's behind the story and hear the desire that's behind the story. And, you know, how much more powerful you are heard if you reflect back to them what they're telling you in that sub-level. And so I think for me, this just reiterated that. I saw that a little bit in my classroom last week, you know, paying attention to what I've been learning in the classes and then being more thoughtful of it as I was speaking or as my co-facilitator was speaking. And then looking at it today and saying, yeah, you know, this is a skill you can hone. And this is a technique of doing it, is to just learn how to break this down in the moment and understand what you see. And like Wendy said, the different perspectives that people bring and what's the triggers that are firing for me.
Right. Marnie, I love it. Oh, it's beautiful. And this makes me think of Dawn when you've said, you know, a few times over the last few, you know, several weeks, like, Michelle, how did you know that? You know, right? It's like you're reading my mind. It's like you've said things like that before in our community, right? And this is a learned skill. It's a listening skill. And we could just say listening, and there's all that stuff about, you know, out in the world about active listening and so on. But you can get what, you know, leaning in and repeating the person's words. That's all like rote level, but it's the story that drives it. And the more we learn to listen to it, like here's the external desire, but here's the internal one. And we've trained and practiced and we listen in that way. Then I Marnie, I'm so glad you talked about that. It's like in a strategy session. It's like where somebody, we're talking to somebody who could maybe do the work with us and we could help them. When we can hear at that level what's actually going on for them, what a gift that is for that person who doesn't have that story facility perhaps and really doesn't even understand what's going on inside them. But once we name it, just like when the theme wasn't named in the story, but we name it, we go, yeah, that's it. And we can do that for that person. It's like, I've been feeling that and I didn't even know. What a gift. And then it'll give them the courage. It gives them the springboard so that they can have the courage to take the step to transform their lives and thereby the lives of those they touch. So very powerful. Thank you, Marnie. Beautiful. What's your inspired action?
Turn off Zoom after a full day of it and just go watch a movie for fun.
I love it. And to me, like the more I do this, and I've been doing this for so many years, it gets more and more and more fun. The more I dive into it, it's like, that's it. Look what just happened. It's just like, I'm like a little kid about this stuff, right? So enjoy that show. You're going to see it at a whole different level, right? Beautiful. Heidi, to bring us home.
Oh, wow. Oof. The reminder that the stories are everywhere and everything. And I think that what struck me, you know, and I hadn't even seen that first clip because I arrived late. And still, when you said, you know, the point of view and the male gaze, I don't know, there was something I needed to learn that in that moment. And I thought, you know, oh, and where else is that? Oh, where else am I not asking the question, whose eyes am I looking through? Mm-hmm. And the reminder to ask, who's speaking? Mm-hmm. Who's the narrator? Whose eyes am I looking through? And wait, they're not mine. That mm-hmm. reminder was just like, I don't know, I needed that reminder very much. And linked to that, I think we hear, and this is to what Wendy was saying, we hear what we need, we learn what we need to learn, we hear what we need to hear, and it may be different for somebody else. And yet when we tell our story, people will put themselves into it and hear their own story in our story. And yes. It will be different for everyone, but it's still hearing that story that makes me the player in my own narrative.
Yes. And the freedom this gives us, the ease this gives us, as that person takes up that story, and we don't have to go, oh no, I didn't get across, you thought like that, like I was saying earlier, you know, it's just like, that person took it up that way. I can still guide that story so that they're getting the, you know, gist of what it is that I'm saying. And then that I have the freedom, the knowledge that as people take it up in their own different way, that all that is perfect, that it gives us, we don't waste, and we don't leak energy by thinking we've done something wrong. It's the nature of how language works. It's the nature of how story works. And then we can go about doing our work with so much more ease and with so many more tools or ingredients to support us, right?
Well, and what Marnie said also really struck me about listening, because each of us, the deep inner wisdom within each of us often comes out of our mouths. We don't even hear it, but our higher selves drop the breadcrumbs of our own inner wisdom. And sometimes it takes us as the listener to say, do you know what you just said? Do you realize the wisdom that you just spoke? And I had it today, just make the example. I was late because I was at an autism mom gathering, and they're rare. So I was there, and there was one mom I had been speaking with earlier, and she resonated with my story and what Ethan had typed. And she came up and she was talking about her daughter, and she said, you know, she just called and I was upset, and she was upset, and I'm not happy because she, and she said, I just want her to have peace, you know. And I said, I understand, you're her mom. And I said to her, right now, can you give yourself that peace? Because maybe that's what you really need too. She looked at me, she said, yes, thank you. That is what I need. And she was speaking, she hadn't heard what she had said.
I love this, Heidi. And this is why it's so important and so beautiful to be able to do this work in community. Because others will hear what we're saying when we can't hear it. Others will pick up the threads, the themes in our stories when we can't hear it, when we are in a group of dream enablers. And also, it's not even just dream enablers. Let me add this piece of it. Dream enablers who understand how story works. Mm. Right? It's very, very powerful, and growth can happen so quickly, and we can, you know, transform our own lives and those that we touch so much more easily when we both do this in community, are among stream enablers and people who understand story, because you understand things that other people don't understand. So you're going to be able to hear things for each other that other people can't hear. You get that, right? I can't help myself. I'm going to say then, remember too, Influencer Story starts Monday. Is a my intention, a $10,000 course that we give away. If you know somebody ought to be there. I don't know when we're going to do this next. I don't know. We don't have it on the books. So I hope and expect and trust that we will, but I don't know. And so please, if you know somebody who should be there, have them come. If they could get even just one piece of this, then you have their ears a little bit more attuned, and you end up with that much more of your broader community in support of you and your vision, so that things just move more easily easily and quickly in the best sense of the word, like without haste, but just like, oh, now I'm here, right? I got to the place I wanted to go. What's next? Thank you. Heidi, did you say you're inspired action? I don't think I heard the action.
Yvonne was kind enough to give me the links. I'm going to watch the first one that I missed and the others again from the awesome. New perspective.
Awesome. I love that we watched three clips and all this came out. That's a tribute to you guys. You are amazing. Fabulous work today. And again, I pointed to you, Yvonne. It's like since 2014, we have not got to this depth of story because it relies on you guys. Fabulous, fabulous work. I'm thrilled. If you heard 1/100th of what was going on in this call, you've got power that is absolutely life-changing. So thank you so much. It's been an honor and a pleasure to spend Saturday night here in our popcorn and movie night with you. So have a wonderful, wonderful week. I know we're late and everybody stayed. Thank you. A wonderful week, everybody. And I think I said I'd stay for questions. Is anybody dying to answer questions? We all want to go, don't we? It's time to go. Any burning questions, anybody? Because then we can just nicely go, right? I'm not trying to push you away. I'm just trying to release you into your families and your life and your world. And there's always another opportunity to ask questions. All right. So have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your Saturday and evening, you guys. I'll see you on Monday and through the week. Please carve out as much as you can every moment to be there. I know it's going to be amazing. So thank you for this amazing, amazing experience together, unprecedented in our community, because you guys, again, I thank you. You are amazing, amazing, amazing. We'll see you real soon.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.